And Scott Simon, we just heard from President Joe Biden speaking from the state dining room with Secretary of State Antony Blinken flanking him. Biden talking about appalling images coming out of the Middle East today, a terrible tragedy on the human level. The key thing he said was that he's going to make sure Israel has what it needs and that the U.S. is going to be coordinating with the Israeli government on a military level, on a diplomatic level, on an intelligence level. So clearly siding with Israel.
He also indicated that he was that relationship was being handled directly between the president himself and Prime Minister Netanyahu, which was interesting given the fact that they have well, they often haven't had a perceptibly close relationship.
And President Biden has been increasingly critical of Netanyahu, pressuring him as Netanyahu's government has become more right-wing in this latest coalition, as he's tried to move big changes through Israel's judiciary that a lot of people say really undermines its democracy. But here, in this moment, President Biden on the phone with Prime Minister Netanyahu supporting him, saying, again, the U.S. will make sure Israel has what it needs. Do we have Asma Khalid on the line, one of our White House correspondents?
Yes. Hi there, Scott. I am still with you all.
Asma, what stood out to you in these remarks?
Yeah, I think two things. One is the other Scott there just mentioned that President Biden said he will personally be continuing to discuss this all and in communication with Netanyahu. That to me was very noteworthy, just given the fact that they have not had the warmest of relationships. But given the violence that has happened, obviously Biden does seem to think that this is of, I think, paramount importance. The other thing was he reiterated something he said in his written statement, which was to warn essentially hostile countries to not take advantage of this moment, right? And again, this to me was indirectly referring there to Iran, which some countries do believe funnels money to Hamas. And we were speaking about this earlier, that a number of Republicans have already tried to link essentially this prisoner swap deal that Biden recently did with Iran to somehow allowing this attack to occur. And we should point out that the National Security Council has strongly disagreed with that assessment, saying there's no indication that any of that is true, and none of that money even has been swapped yet at all. But that is something that you're seeing Republican presidential candidates jump on in their rhetoric.
Asma, any sense what comes next? We were talking before about the fact that this happens in a moment of paralysis in the United States Congress. It comes in the middle of a presidential election, I think we can say at this point in the year, where there's a real isolationist streak in the Republican Party. That is clear that is direction people in the party want to go. Is this a moment of a very extremely rare moment where perhaps a lot of the United States political spectrum can be on the same side in terms of what comes here next? I mean, which way do you think it goes?
I think when you look at congressional lawmakers, you've long seen a bipartisan, unconditional support of Israel, and I think that that will likely continue in the days ahead. I think there are two big questions that are going to remain unanswered. One is how Israel responds to this and the degree to which I think the breadth and depth of their response could potentially be on Palestinians. I think that will be significant in affecting potentially the progressive Democratic Party's sort of stance on what transpires over the next few days. The other thing I think that will be key to watch is depending on how Israel, again, responds to this all on Palestinians is how this might affect the mega deal that you just heard Aya Batraoui referring to earlier for Saudi Arabia and Israel to normalize the relationships. This is a big deal that would tremendously change the Middle East region, and it's something that the Biden White House has been eagerly working towards for many, many months. This could potentially make it much more difficult to reach any resolution on that deal.
We want to play some audio we had today from an interview with Natan Sachs. He is director of the Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution. And he was describing for us what amounts to the shockwaves, the reverberations, an attack like this, coming as it did, from what we know, a total surprise, fanning out over the country, what it can send to the Israeli security and military establishments.
This looks like, of course, a very dramatic case, but it might seem like one more round between Israel and Hamas. I think this may not be. Israel is very different than it was just 12 hours ago. And I think the demand in the Israeli public, the shock in the Israeli public, will give both cover but also demand for very robust action. And so the Israeli leadership and the Israeli military face a very difficult conundrum. First, they have to get Hamas terrorists out of the Israeli towns and villages in the south. There are still at least two cases of hostage situations, holdoffs. But then they will have to figure out what to do with the operation. I would be surprised if there is not a ground operation in Gaza, what extent it has, and what they do about the hostages, the Israeli hostages inside the Gaza Strip. Those will be very difficult conundrums for them going forward.
And, of course, a live ground operation will certainly continue how long this crisis situation continues. You have been listening to special coverage of President Biden's remarks from the stateroom of the White House on the Hamas attacks in Israel earlier today that have killed at least 150 people there. The Israeli reprisal has killed at least 200 Palestinians. You're listening to NPR News.